You are listening to Radio Maria Canada, a Catholic voice wherever you are.
I've got no regrets. I wouldn't change a single day.
Hail, Holy Queen, Mother of Mercy, hail, our life, our sweetness, and our hope. To thee do we cry, poor banished children of Eve. To thee do we send up our sighs, mourning and weeping, in this valley of tears. Turn then, most gracious Advocate, thine eyes of mercy toward us. And after this our exile, show unto us the blessed fruit of thy womb, Jesus. O clement, O loving, O sweet Virgin Mary, pray for us, O Holy Mother of God, that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ. Amen. Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Thank you, brothers and sisters, for joining us this afternoon here on Radio Maria Canada. I'm Christina Doyle, and this is the program called The Father's Quilt. Oftentimes we say, and before I get into the whole notion of faith, we ask, why, God? Why? We ask this question so many times, don't we? And sometimes it may be asked by a skeptic who can't understand why things are the way they are, or by a believer who is starting to pray a prayer. And why, oh Lord, why do you stand off? Why do you hide yourself? So in any case, my brothers and sisters, it's a question that says we are in trouble. And you have to know that, you know, people who do not become non-believers or saints, they are formed. They're not born to be the way they are. Who among us really hasn't felt disappointed and frustrated at times and even betrayed? But which one of us can declare with certainty that he or she is safe from accidents, wars, or terrorism? We're always facing the possibility of trouble. And often it seems as if no one, even in heaven, cares. And so people declare that God, not evil, is dead. Well, it's difficult to be a person of faith in today's world, isn't it? We're exhausted by words and opinions and doctrines and slogans, and the information is like overload, right? And we're constantly frustrated by the conflicting propaganda launched by the media and self-interest groups. And so nevertheless, trust and true faith are the answer to overcome all of this. If we think about faith, right, it's the most practical and down-to-earth aspect of our life. And without faith, our lives would be impossible to sustain. Matthew chapter 17. Truly I tell you, if you have the faith the size of a mustard seed, you will say to the mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. So everything for Jesus when he allowed Peter to walk on the water, remember? When they were in the boat, when Jesus was on the other side and the disciples were in the boat, and everything was all right until Peter realized how strong the wind was, and he became afraid and he doubted and he lost sight of Jesus and started to sink, and he cried out, Lord, save me. And of course, Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him and said to him, you of little faith, Why did you doubt? It's in Scripture, brothers and sisters, Matthew chapter 14. Like Peter, we may have the winds of life against us. There's failure, there's broken hearts, there's illness, and many other aggravations. We may have the waves crashing hard against all sides of our boat. We may become perplexed and confused. Then what do we do? Well, Peter's solution was to say, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. And Peter started to walk across the water. God does impossible things. Remember the scripture. Truly I tell you, if you have the faith, the size of a mustard seed, you will say to the mountains, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. The mountains in our lives, yeah, I know, sometimes they really do seem immovable, and we might be bending under too much stress and too many adversities. We might be suffering from so many weaknesses in ourselves and incurable diseases, but when we place our faith in God, sincerely and truly, brothers and sisters, we set in motion such a powerful force that has the ability to change situations and create a new reality. We know that God will help us move the mountains that crush us. This is what Jesus promised. If we have the faith of a mustard seed, with God, nothing is impossible. Faith gives us the power to rise above any challenge, no matter how frightened things might look around you. You have nothing to fear. Faith gives us the power, for like the bird that starts to sing in the darkness of the early morning, it's usually here in springtime, it's the robin. He's at the crack of dawn. I swear it must be like 4:00, 4:30 in the morning. And he starts singing. As soon as the glimpse of daylight, he knows that a new day is coming. And we realize that even in our darkest night, a new day will give birth to a second chance and a new possibility. We are so free to reach for the stars. Perhaps Jesus' greatest gift was to convince us that we are children of God with divine, unlimited potential. He said, very truly I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it. John chapter 14. When we understand this, brothers and sisters, your life and mine, well, guess what? It's bound to be changed forever. Even though faith deals with all kinds of impossibilities, it shouldn't replace human research and traditional medicine. Faith should not be subject to any obstacle. It's important to look and act in a way that shows God is fully alive. Believe it, brothers and sisters. Walk it. Breathe it. As we flood our minds and hearts and wills with expression of faith, our faith will grow and continue to grow, and it'll affect all that we hope for in our lives. We are connected to God's power. Faith is a gift and a true fruit of the Spirit. When the winds blow and the oak tree stands firm and secure because it has deep and strong roots, our beliefs are our roots. The adversities of life won't break us down when our faith is strong. So if you keep saying sincerely, Lord, I believe, soon with God's grace, what you ask for will become real. Notice that the Father in Mark chapter 9 didn't say, I believe. he didn't just say, I believe. He said, Lord, I believe, to indicate that there is more in the healing process than what human psychology and psychiatry can offer. We need the help of our all-powerful God so that we can say with Paul, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Philippians 4. Brothers and sisters, your faith, my faith, we have to have a strong faith. And it comes with time. Okay, it's not magic. It's not all of a sudden I say I'm going to have strong faith and then I have it. It isn't how it works. It takes time. It takes your conviction, our perseverance, our coming again to the Lord and asking. And he never tires of us asking him to come into our lives, to take control of our lives, to help us, to guide us, to reveal to us his plan for us so that we can follow the steps that he wants us to follow. That takes conviction and it takes work on our part. But once you make that step, brothers and sisters, the rest is in God's hands. So, brothers and sisters, while we explore between faith and hope, we have to understand that what faith actually does for a person, right? Think about that. Just think about that. Are people with more faith better equipped in some way to meet challenges without succumbing to stress? Do you think about that? Well, guess what? They are. Absolutely. I believe these questions can be answered absolutely yes, with a resounding yes. Right. So that faith benefits your physical, your mental health by giving you hope and optimism and a positive expectation. Saying, you know, it's not all going to be bad. It's not going to work out for the worst. It's going to work out for the best. That's the kind of positive expectation that we need to have. Right? So faith does, whether you like it or not, affects our health in some way. And that's why faith is so powerful. When we have deep faith, well, we activate that mind's energy, which becomes part of the universal energy. And this causes circumstances and events to be created so that we can achieve our goals, right? So, brothers and sisters, faith is a very powerful fountain of spiritual, of emotional, and physical energy. We should watch carefully whatever we turn our attention to, whatever convictions we hold, and whatever expectations we harbor. When we have faith, we can be transformed by the renewal of our minds. Paul gave this prescription. And you can find it in Philippians 4. Rejoice, and I've said this, so I love this. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So there's been research been done that faith helps patients in five ways. First, faith gives them hope for healing, as well as hope for life and death after death. Second, faith gives them a sense of control by trusting God, who will answer their prayers. And third, in faith, they can face illness with strength. Fourth, in faith, they can find meaning to their life, to their illness, and to their pain. Fifth, in faith, they find a purpose. Just think about that, brothers and sisters. Hope, control, strength, purpose makes us feel better, We are happier, more satisfied with our life, and we have more self-respect and higher self-esteem. Brothers and sisters, every listener that's listening today, to me, and especially to our Lord, you are a diamond. You know how precious a diamond is? More than anything, more than any gem, more than anything, you are a beautiful, precious diamond. You shine. Under God's grace, you shine. And with the Holy Spirit, you will continue to spread your light to others. You are a beacon of hope. You are wonderful. You are amazing. You are kind. And you are merciful unto God. And He loves you. You are absolutely, without a doubt, perfect. There is nothing wrong with you. God has made you according to His likeness. He remembers you. He pulled you out and put you in the womb. He knows you by name, brothers and sisters. He knows you. Your neighbor may not know you. The person down the hall, if you're in a condo or an apartment building, may not know you. But God knows you. God knows your heart. That's why you need to really hang on to that faith. Be strong. Know that you are loved. You are precious in His sight. Doesn't matter what the world says. Don't look at the world. Don't let the world judge you. Who are they? They are nothing. That's according to the flesh. We don't live according to the flesh. You remember that. We live according to the Spirit. And the Spirit, He is the eye of the prize. He's the prize, right, brothers and sisters? So be proud. Be happy in yourself. Hold your head up. Look at yourself in the mirror and say, I am amazing. God loves me just the way I am. I know I'm not perfect. Christina's not perfect. No one is perfect. Guess what? No one is perfect. You know, that was a huge revelation for children as a teacher when I told them that. Because children come like looking at you as if you are God. Everything you say to them, especially in the primary grades, holds water. So when they go home, they don't listen to their parents. They'll say, well, Mrs. Doyle said. But Mrs. Doyle said, it's like their parents have come to me and said, whatever I say doesn't matter. It's what you have said matters. That's exactly how we must be looking at God. Like children, that nothing else matters. Don't look and listen to the world around you. You have a best friend. You have a father. A father who loves you, a spiritual father who loves us, a blessed mother, a holy mother who cares for us, who will intercede for us. Brother and sister, please, please, please don't underestimate yourself. Don't think less of yourself. You must think of yourself as a queen and as a king. You must realize how precious you are in God's eyes. And really, really, what really matters here? Your neighbor's opinion or of God who made you, who brought you in this world for a reason, for a purpose? Don't worry about, oh, I don't know what my reason is. Oh, I don't know what my... Yes, don't worry. Because if you ask Him with faith, He will reveal to you slowly but surely the answer. And you will see doors opening up or things that are closing and things that are opening for a reason. And that's where we must be able to discern and focus on Him, because He is guiding us. He is guiding us all the way right to our very last breath. And then we see Him in heaven. Brothers and sisters, I hope that this kind of, teaching, I don't want to sound lecturing, but I hope this helps you. I really want you to feel empowered today, to feel strong in yourself, that you are walking on this earth side by side with Jesus, that you must realize that no matter wherever you think you may be, wherever you feel that you may be alone, you aren't. You aren't alone. The holy word for us, brothers and sisters, is Jesus Christ. And through his life, the miracles he performed, and especially in his teaching, Jesus placed a special emphasis on the persistence of faith. The Gospels report when he entered the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said to them, "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" And they said to him, "Yes, Lord." Then he touched their eyes and said, "According to your faith, let it be done to you." And their eyes were opened. You of little faith, why did you doubt? Matthew 14. The disciples came to Jesus privately and said, Why could we not cast the demon out? He said to them, "Because of your little faith. If you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you will say to the mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. All things can be done for the one who believes. And these signs will accompany those who believe. By using my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes in their hands. And if they drink any deadly thing, it will not hurt them. They will lay their hands on the sick and they will recover." John chapter 20, "Do not doubt, but believe." And that, my brothers and sisters, is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent. There's an interesting story about the power of faith that's found in the Gospel of Matthew, and that's chapter 15. And you can look it up after if you want. But upon encountering Jesus, a Canaanite woman shouted, "Have mercy on me, Lord, son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon," she said. He said, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Discrimination? Right? Wrong. "Lord, help me," she persisted. Jesus answered, "It is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." Arrogance? Right? Wrong again. The woman said, Lord, "yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." And at that moment, Jesus answered her, "Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." And her daughter was healed. Well, what's going on here? One explanation is, at the time, the Canaanites were despised by the Jews, who called them dogs because they worshipped statues of a goddess. And that's actually a historical and cultural fact. When Jesus reminded the woman of her cultural condition, he wanted to heal her as well as her daughter from the hurt of being called dog. He wanted to cast off all bitterness from the environment where healing was going to take place. That's healing. One does not heal without getting rid of old hurts, resentments, and bitterness. That's right. Absolutely. That nasty thing called guilt, unforgiveness, bitterness, you have to get rid of that, and you have to deal with that first, brothers and sisters. And you won't be able to deal with it alone, because if you're still dealing with it, guess what? You need to bring it to God. And you say, "Yes, I have, Christina. Yes, I have." Well, persist. Keep at it. And believe that Jesus hears. Believe that. You must believe that. Okay? There's a reason for everything. And you know what? We don't know everything, brothers and sisters. And when we reach heaven, we won't maybe know all the answers. We're not going to see the entire big picture. That's God's prerogative, not ours. He doesn't have to show us anything. That's God. That's why he is God. We're not. But all we have to do is walk on this earth and trust him and give all the good to him and say, anything that good happens to us, we thank him. And anything that bad happens to us, we thank him. And we pray for our enemies. Yeah. We have to pray for our enemies. And that is healing, brothers and sisters. So another striking story, of course, when Jesus met the Samaritan woman at the well. Remember John chapter 4. And after a very personal conversation with Christ, the woman went back to her village to report. She said, "Come and see. Come and see a man who told me everything I have ever done." John 4. And this woman, who several broken relationships indicated deep and untold wounds, felt no judgment from a man of compassion and understanding such as Jesus. She felt freed by an embodied forgiving love to say what she had kept hidden from others and even from herself. Her feelings about herself and others and God had changed. Emotional healing is part of spiritual healing. If we allow God to show us all that we have done, God will heal our wounds, meet our needs, and transform our lives spiritually, emotionally, and physically. Brothers and sisters, we become whole again. And that is what the sacrament of reconciliation does. So it helps us become whole and live a new life of grace. The image we have of Jesus would not be complete if we consider him just a mere teacher or a preacher of religious truth. The many miracles, from exorcism to his extraordinary power over the forces of nature, attest to his healing power, his activity. Matthew reported that Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness among the people. And so his fame spread through all Syria, and they brought him to all the sick, those who were afflicted with various diseases and pains and demonics and epileptics and paralytics, and he cured them. Jesus also gave this power of healing to his apostles. Jesus called the 12 together and gave them power and authority over all the demons and to cure diseases, and he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal. They did this. As reported in the Acts of the Apostles, Peter said, "I have no silver or gold, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, stand up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and raised him up. And immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. Jumping up, he stood and began to walk. He entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. Brothers and sisters, when you feel defeated, remember this. God gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. When you feel worthless, remember, God created humankind in his image. When you feel paralyzed by fear, God did not give us a spirit of cowardice, but rather a spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline. When you feel weak, remember, he, the Lord, said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you. For power is made perfect in weakness, so I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me." And if you need approval, when you're feeling that you need approval, well, am I now seeking human approval or God's approval? God loves you. Brothers and sisters, thank you so much for being with me. God bless you. Keep the faith and hang on to it. Bye for now.
I've got no regrets. I wouldn't change a single day.
wouldn't change a single.